Preach the gospel to every creature, everybody, everyone. That includes the deaf community. We need to hear this gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. There is nothing that can limit you. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and you speak in other tongues, there's nothing that can limit you from receiving that. And that does not matter if you are deaf. There's one gentleman I know, I saw him receive the Holy Ghost and he had no tongue, but he was speaking in perfect tongues. That is proof that this Bible has something for each and every one of us. And that is a promise to you, regardless if you have a tongue or not. That Holy Ghost is enough. I look at this Bible and I want to be like Paul and say, I am not ashamed of this gospel. I feel good in this house. Hallelujah. But there's one rule here. We are not to judge when we're out and about in our life and say, you know, I feel like this person is really wanting to get it. So let me go ahead and just share it with you. And well, you're not really going to. Why are you looking for those people like in that way? Our responsibility is just to spread it. Well, you know, I've spread it to 50 people and nope, nothing's happened. Well, that's an incorrect attitude. You might be waiting for the 99th person and hey, you've reached your 100th person and that person's coming into the church house. It does not matter how long it takes, just as long as somebody steps foot into the church and God will do the rest. You bring them into this church. It says, go ye therefore, go into your communities, go into your city, go into the deaf socials, go into meet everybody you can and change the world with this gospel. Hallelujah. There's one rule that we have, and we are not to judge those that receive it. That does not matter if you have everything from a doctor's degree to not. They need to be saved as well. They can change Pentecost, but it is to everybody. There's a former president here, former President Bush. He had mentioned something that I thought was really interesting, and I remember a particular quote. He said, do not leave any child behind. And the point of this statement was to say, hey, no child will be left behind. Everyone's going to get an education. And that statement as a whole, great. I agree. No child be left behind. Let's get everyone educated. But guess what? Us deaf people, we don't need to be left behind either. We also need to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this church is going to be busy with the growing deaf ministry. And it feels good. I can feel the presence of God. Hey, and yes, I might be crazy. Hey, I might be crazy, but hallelujah. Hallelujah. And again, I'm going to say this again, and there's only this rule. We are not to judge those people who are seeking. There's one lady, and I remember this precious lady. Personally, I waited for somebody to come witness to me when I was saved. I didn't know how to step foot into a church house. I waited for somebody to witness to me, just like your neighbor might be waiting for you to witness to them, your coworkers, those that you're around, because, hey, you look different. You act different. Hey, maybe you say, oh, it's not showing. No. They're hungry because they can see that you've got something different. And they say, I want what you have. I'm waiting for you to share something with me. Please ask me to come. They may be too shy to ask. I was too shy to ask. I wanted church. I've seen all these churches around my city, and I said, hey, there's something about these things. And I've never set foot into a church. But I said, church, there's something about this thing. But how can I ever set foot into it? I didn't know how to do it. But it took a third witness to come up to me. It was on a Monday night. We were at a math class, and we were doing individual studies at a math class at a college, and it was a precious moment because she sat right in front of me. I remember I was next to the wall, and she sat right in front of me. And let me say this. Do you have to have a doctorate degree in theology with some fancy language, and you say, okay, let me go ahead and practice these big $5 words. Okay, we're great. Drink water, gurgle it, and we're ready to go. Let's go ahead and share this practiced theology here. That's not what we need. You don't need that to share the gospel. Your testimony is precious to you. Each of you have a testimony to share. Your testimony can change a life. The testimony of a child or to an adult, those can change lives. And this lady approached me, and she was very precious. She came up to me, and it was a third witness that was able to come up to me, and she sat in front of me. And it was precious because she had a big smile on her face, and she said, Jesus loves you. And I said, bam, Jesus, there's an identity. And that's how I began to understand what was going on. I didn't understand if there was a God, if there's one God, a Trinity, a three or five, or who, what. I didn't know. My mind was empty with theology. All I wanted was church. Use common sense. There's a church house. It's either heaven or hell. I want to go there so I can go to the right place. It's obvious. That's where I wanted to be. I told God. I was talking to myself. I wasn't sure how to pray. I said, God, whichever church I go into, I'm giving you my life in this building. That's it. End of discussion. I'm giving you my life. And I said, this is the church. Because God knew how hungry I was. God knew how much I wanted to go to church. God knew my heart. Just like God, you may not know your neighbor, but God knows the hearts of those that are around you. You have a fire. You are different. They want something that you have. Hallelujah. Oh, well, you feel shy and ashamed. Well, we're not full enough of the Holy Ghost if that's the case. Hallelujah. It is precious and it's eternal life, and we need to be sharing that gospel. Now, again, this lady, she's sitting in front of me at this college class. She says, Jesus love you. And my heart is beating out of my chest. She has something. She's the first person that's witnessed directly to me and told me about Jesus. She said, Jesus is coming. And that was it. My heart about beat out of my chest. But now my question to you is, do you believe Jesus is coming? Because I do. According to my Bible, God, he's coming quickly. So let's go ahead and be ready. If we don't have enough Holy Ghost, tonight's your night to go get that refilling. Maybe the brim of that cup is not overflowing anymore. Hey, guess what? We can get refilled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost because God can come at any moment. We see this in our Bible. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm thirsty. Hey, if you're thirsty for the Holy Ghost, tonight's your night. If you come because you're thirsty. You're seeking after something. Your heart is dry. Your spirit is dry. Well, the Holy Ghost can feel that. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I know I'm speaking to maybe 2-3 people that are experiencing a dry season in their life. But guess what? This is the best opportunity to give God the praise by lifting your hands, regardless of the frustration, regardless of the struggle, regardless of feeling how worthless you may feel. That does not matter, because by faith, you know that when you lift your hands, the Holy Ghost will be given unto you. You know that. So you do it. You lift your hands in worship and praise. Yes, it's a struggle. Yes, it's painful. But that does not matter, because you keep doing it. You lift it all the way up. You make it all, and the higher they go, the more that spirit starts to fall down on your life, and everything begins to open up, and that spirit begins to fill you until more than you can handle, until that cup is overflowing, and that is evidence that God is filling you with his spirit. I am deaf. I've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. You deaf people, you can receive it too. I'm telling you, yes, I'm a little all over the place, and I'll get to my point in a minute, but the Holy Ghost is here today. I can feel it. Now, and this might be a short sermon or a long sermon. I'm just wheeling after God, but let's go ahead and see what God wants to do with this service. Amen? We want to let God lead us. Okay. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I really feel it. I feel the Holy Ghost. I felt it when I stepped foot in here. When I first sat down, I said, the Holy Ghost is in this place. And I'm trying to contain it until I get up to preach the word of God. Hallelujah. Hey, you know, I've heard this gospel so many times. And yes, I've heard the gospel change your life. If you're not getting it, you need to hear it again. Hallelujah. And if that gospel will change your life, it changes your life. You're never going to want to go back, because the Holy Ghost is precious. Now, so this lady, she says, Jesus is coming. Yes, that's the truth. Yes, I understand that. My heart's beating out of my chest. I need to do something right now. I want to go get this salvation right now. So let me tell you, be prepared. Someone can call you at the midnight hour, not during the service, not during a time of church. Hey, I need something. Hey, I want to be saved. I want to be baptized right now. Be prepared for that. I didn't know anything. All I knew, being baptized meant I was going to heaven. That's all I knew. And I said, lady, I want to do it right now. I'm not waiting anymore. That's how much I wanted it. And it was a beautiful moment. So we got in our cars. I followed her to her house where her pastor was. There was interpreters there. And they were all showing up to rejoice over me wanting to be baptized. It was midnight. People were getting ready for work the next day. And they were waking up, ignoring the fact that they were not getting their sleep for work. They were showing up, hair a mess, clothes all over the place. They were showing up after midnight to watch me be baptized. And that was them rejoicing with me. The Bible here, we see that these angels rejoice when one person, and this, it shows that each individual is important. You cannot just lift your hands and say, well, you know, this gospel's for them. Well, that's the wrong attitude. Hey, God, I'm working on, this is you and me. I'm working on my life. You work with me. I'm opening my heart. Hey, God, this is a me and you situation. I'm not going to worry about anybody else. And when you do that, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have the 120 people in the upper room. They were all focused. They were all in one accord. They were focused on God. And that's when they received the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost showed up when they were all in one accord. They all spoke in tongues. They were all drunk in the Holy Ghost. And maybe you say, oh, you know, I really want to experience that being, you know, I got the Holy Ghost a long time. No, the Holy Ghost is still alive today. It is still here and you can receive it. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is the same gospel. Peter walking out of the upper room being drunk with the Holy Ghost. Hey, you can still get that drunk in the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah. And now I know what the Holy Ghost is. I know what Peter got because I got it. That's my brother in Christ. Hallelujah. He preaches the gospel. We have to preach the gospel. There's an elderly lady who was able to spread the gospel. People were coming to the church because an elderly lady was spreading the gospel. There's no excuse for us. That's revival. That's revival. The baptismal tank is going to be full. There's going to be a line out the door. Hallelujah. I forgot what I was saying. Hey, I'm outrunning my thoughts here. No, I'm still preaching though, okay? So, it was a beautiful situation where I had followed to the house and the pastor was there and they all had showed up. And the Bible, understand, the angels, you find in our Bibles, it says the angels rejoice over one. Well, I was that one that day. I was that one. Just like each and every one of us, at one point, we were that one that the angels rejoiced over. Is that clear? This is me. I received the gospel. I understand what the Bible says. The Bible says that there is one. The angels rejoice over one sinner. If it was only over one sinner, God would still die for you. Because he wants you to go to heaven. He wants you. He holds you near and dear. He wants you to go to heaven. This is not what I am saying. This is what we see in our Bibles. It says it very clearly. And it was, he's rejoicing over one sinner that repents. And what we find, it's really interesting. Let me go ahead and tell you something. When this one sinner that repents, it is a precious moment. And it truly is precious because repentance is one of the most precious things you can do. Because what you're doing is you're coming face to face with the Almighty God and you're making a decision in that moment. I am following you from now on. That is a precious moment. There's no other light. There's no other way. And there's only one light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Any man that thirsts, he comes after me and I will fill him with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This man, when one sinner repents, the host of heaven, the angels, they all, there is no exception. I know the devil's not rejoicing. Well, hey, guess what, devil? Too bad. You're not included in this equation. You're taking the joy. I'm taking it back. Too bad for you. I'm not going to have my tail tucked behind my legs and say, hey, devil, I'm sorry. No, this is my night. God, this is between you and me. God, you're talking to me. God, and there's going to be a cost. There's going to be trials. There's going to be situations. I'm not going to give up because, God, you're the direction I'm facing. This is a new life, and I'm making this decision tonight. Again, the host of angels, they rejoice over one that repents. They rejoice, all of them. This is incredible. This is a serious, I want you to understand this. This is happening right now. The angels, the host of angels are saying, is anybody going to repent tonight? Is anybody? They're wanting to have a party in heaven. They're looking into this place tonight. Hallelujah. So, the host of angels will rejoice. And in my mind, I began to think about this. I didn't fully understand why the angels would do so because the angels have never understood the experience that we're facing. Why are they rejoicing when they have never understood what we're facing? Let me give you an example. Oh, here's my mask. Yeah, I have to bring it everywhere I go. Anyways, COVID. So, it'll go away. But anyways, so if I had a dollar bill, I'm going to give you an example. I'm in a rush here. I feel the spirit in this place. But let me give you an example here. Let me share this with you. If I have a dollar bill, right? This is on the ground, right? This mask is my $1 bill. If I have my three kids with me and they're young, they look at this dollar bill and say, hey, Dad, look, there's a dollar. The kids are not going to understand the value of the dollar in and of itself. There's no understanding of the valuation because it depends on my reaction. It depends on what I'm doing. My kids say, hey, kid, they say, hey, Dad, there's a dollar. They'll watch me. If I pick up this dollar and I say, hey, that's a dollar. And the kids say, hey, it's a dollar. Let's go ahead and buy three pieces of gum. Because they don't have that understanding of valuation. But let me give you another example. If there is $1,000, that would be pretty neat. All right, I know. Okay? So there's $1,000 on the ground. and I'm walking out with my three kids, and I look at this $1,000, and understand, the kids are not going to understand the valuation of the $1,000, but I know. And if I say, oh, wow, there's $1,000, and I say, yes, the kids are thinking, great, yes, we've got $1,000. They're following my reaction. They're following my excitement. They're watching me as their example. And the same thing we find with Jesus Christ, God. When God rejoices over one of us repenting, the angels watch that example. Just because the Lord Jesus Christ is rejoicing, the angels are rejoicing alongside him. So that is a precious thing. The creator of all, he is the one that influences the reaction of the angels. And that goes to show you that you are precious. You as an individual mean something. And you have to remember, Paul says this, we need to pray daily. Pray without ceasing. We find that in our Bible. Hey, this is a continual process. You keep that prayer life. You keep that connection. Where there's no vacation from a relationship with God. I need this. I got to put this back just in case we go somewhere. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm following closely. I feel like the Holy Ghost is in this place. And hallelujah. Now, I want to say this. Let me tell you something. We find in our Bible a specific prophet. You find a situation. I know it feels like I'm all over the place, but I'm getting there. Trust me. I'm the Spirit's leading me here. So you find in this particular situation where you have an axe. You have the head of the axe is connected to the handle. So you find this man who is using the tool. This tool can chop a tree down, right? This is a tool. The tool is ready to be used. Yes, there's labor that is involved with the tool. It requires work. It requires you to do something. The sweat of your brow is included. Yes, it feels like it's a long process. But that time will come when the tool is fully effective in chopping the tree. The time will come when the Holy Ghost fills each and every one of you, okay? Now you have a big tree in this example, and it says, this tree is real stubborn. This tree is not coming down. I have been spending some time. Yeah, it's easy to chop the small trees down. That's easy. But now you got this big one. But this big tree will fall using this tool. And you find in this particular situation where this man is chopping down the tree, and obviously as he goes, the tree becomes less and less stable. Now let me go ahead and change directions here for a slight moment here. You find in this situation where the head of the axe comes off of the handle and falls into the river, falls into the water. The handle by itself is useless. The handle depends on the head of the axe in order to be effective in falling this tree. You need both pieces, and the most effective piece has fallen completely to the bottom of the water. Now you find the parable. Now, if I change directions to the parable of the two sons here, where you have a father who has two sons. Yes, I know that the father can tell by their reaction, how they're acting, what's going on. The father knows, just like your pastor will know in a lot of situations how you're acting and what's going on. But watch this. This man has two sons. You have the younger son, where it's the prodigal son, where he says, hey, this is a process. When he's reaching out, it's because thoughts have been involved. Plans have been involved. A process has already been gone through. He has then decided, and it's upon that decision that he reaches out to the father. And at that point, the father cannot do anything. That's when the son decides to leave. Hey, give him a portion of my inheritance. That is all for me. Give it to me. And obviously, we understand the younger son, he's due 1/3 of the inheritance. That's tradition. But it's not normal for the son to receive the inheritance before due time. But he was ready. Before the appointed time. Hallelujah. So follow me here. Just follow me for the moment. God is here. God is working on your hearts. He's amongst us this evening. Hallelujah. Yes, I know we're calmed down right now, but we'll get there. So he calls for the portion of his inheritance. Then he decides to go his way. He then journeys to a far land. And the further and further he goes, he's deciding to do this. And the father may have spent time watching the son go, watching him leave, and then deciding to wait for his return. He's coming back. He has hope. He's coming back. This boy is coming back. His bed is still here. I'm not taking another son to replace this one. This is your spot. You're coming back to fill this place. And as the son decides to go further and further away, and he does so, he goes as far away as he can until he hits rock bottom and he realizes that he is worthless. He then, at that moment, looks back. Now, I want you to understand something. If I go back to the Acts, we're sharing the gospel. If we can say that this Acts is the gospel, we're trying to spread it. We're working. We're using it. And hey, God, you're going to do something about this tree that's being so stubborn. It's going to fall. Well, in the midst of this, we find in this parable where the head of the axe falls down to the bottom of the water, just like the son decides to go all the way. So both situations, they're at their furthest points away from being effective. This axe head is at the bottom of the water, and the prodigal son is as far away from home as he can get. Now, this axe head cannot just float back to the surface on its own. Now, let me go to a third story. Just bear with me. You have a wall here. And I notice, you know, if you're driving by, you'll notice a lot of buildings will have different size rocks that are built into a wall. And every rock is a slightly different shape, and it's all pieced together, and it looks like a wall. And it's all held together by cement or whatever. They're all different size rocks. And if we could say they're all having different personalities, they could represent different people, different nationalities, different races, tall, short, wide, thin, or whatever you may say, long feet, cross-eyed or not, all different people. They're all represented in this wall. But this wall is beautiful because this is God's children. We're all represented in this wall. These are my children. And the gospel is for whosoever will. It is for everybody, for every nation, every city, every community, everyone. Hallelujah. There is no other gospel. Paul says that there is no other gospel whereby there's no other. There's nothing. There's only one gospel. We understand this gospel, like I said, can change your life. There's nothing else in this world that will come close. Now, again, this wall. Tons of different rocks. It's beautiful. Just like God loves each and every one of us, we're all different. We're precious in his sight. We're precious people. And he rejoices with us when we repent. When each of us repent, there is a time where we have repented and God has rejoiced specifically over you, and the host of heaven has done so alongside him because of you. That is precious. Now you have, again, this wall. And I'm using this wall to represent the different personalities. And in the prodigal son, this man says, that's my son. I'm not going to take another to put him in the room of my actual son. This room belongs to my son. No other person is going to fill this spot than my son. If another man comes in to try to fill it, the devil's going to try to tell you, oh, God's picked somebody else. You're replaced. That is not true. You are precious in his sight and you will never be replaced. He has adopted you into his family. And I pray that God uses this sermon to say, hey, keep a relationship with the Almighty God. He loves you. So the father's looking at the empty room, and only my son can fill that room. Just like when we have this rock wall, it's beautiful. And every time I drive by walls like this, this comes into my mind. I think it's incredible. Because every rock on this wall is different. There are no two that are the same. And I love it. I love it. Because that is the church. And that's what we're about. Now, every rock is different. Now, say one of them falls off and gets lost in the midst of all the other rocks and is washed away. You now have a gap in this wall. And I'm not going to be happy with that missing piece. I'm going to want to look for that one rock, and only the rock that was initially there will ever fit. And no other rock will be the right size. Well, the personality is great, but, you know, he's got a great personality, but he's not going to fit in this spot because it's not his spot. You are, you have an instrumental point. You're an instrumental spot, and you're precious. You have a, you are an important, you are precious to God, and you've got the Holy Ghost. Yes. And you may be thinking, hey, this church, I'm going to hold on to this building and I'm saved. I'm in the church. I'm going to hold on to the building and I'm, no, this church is not going to carry you into heaven. You, when you leave from God, he's adding to the church daily. I want you to remember that. But when you get up and when you walk away, you walk away, and it doesn't represent, it's not represented by the building. Are you with me? Just like when this missing piece, you're never going to find another rock to fill the spot that the initial one did. Just like when God is looking for you, when you've walked away from him, nobody else is filling your spot. He's going to seek after you and remind you, hey, I love you. Hey, I'm for you. Just like this prodigal son, no other person can fill the bed of the prodigal son until that son came back home. We don't know, but the father very may have well just fixed the bed every day and decided to dust the room and be prepared. So why don't we act accordingly? Hey, God, I know this person's coming back. I know this is going to act accordingly to knowing the fact that it's going to happen. Know that it's going to happen because each and every one of you are precious. There's one woman I know, she prayed for 34 years. She said, my husband's going to be back. He's coming back. 34 years. He finally came back after 34 years of prayer. But you're all precious. There's no other person that can fill your spot. And you can say, hey, I found the rock. I found the one that's precious, the one that fits. Rejoice with me. He's coming back. And he comes back into the specific spot that God has meant for you. That is his church. He loves you. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm in church, but my heart is empty. If your heart is empty, you're not on this wall. And we go back to the story where this man is chopping down the tree, and again, the axe head falls off the handle, and it falls to the bottom of the water. Comes to the complete bottom here. And I'm assuming you have an average axe head at this point. It's about 7.5 pounds in today's society. I don't know what it was back then, but we'll use that number. 7 pounds, rock bottom. This handle is worthless. It is worthless. You're not going to chop a tree down with a stick. But the prophet approaches at this point. And the prophet then pulls a stick off the tree, a branch off the tree. And this branch in this situation represents the grace that is reaching out to you. The grace that is being handed out to you. You're that axe head that's fallen to the rock bottom. Yes, you're overwhelmed with life. Yes, you feel worthless, but grace is reaching out to you and beckoning you to the surface. Hey, come back. Come back. God's grace will suffice. It is more sufficient. It is more than you ever need. So the prophet then puts this branch into the water, and you find in this story with this axe head, then it's on its own, which is incredible. It's amazing. Yes, 7 pounds, rock bottom, just like we feel. We're weighed down. There's no way I'm worthless. I've dealt with sin. I weigh 1,000 pounds, and I'm at the bottom of the ocean, and there's nothing that will lift me up. Hold on. God's grace beckons you, calls you, is telling you to come, is calling you, just like this branch brought the axe head to the surface. And this stick, if I can say that, this handle is God, and the axe head is you. God is using you to spread the gospel. If you leave, who's God going to use to spread the gospel? With you and God as a team, we're going to spread this gospel to the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Musicians, can you come? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. 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 Musicians, once you get there, you can start playing. Whichever song fits, I don't know. Hallelujah. But I want to say this. The Lord is calling you individually. God is reaching out to you individually. God is calling you personally. And that call is precious because he loves you. He's calling you. He's beckoning you to come back to him. And God will deliver you from a myriad of things. There is no limitation of God. Go ahead. Now let's go ahead and focus on Jesus. Let's not worry about those that are around us. It's God, this is between you and me. God, I'm here. I'm going to lift my hands. Let's all come to the front so we don't feel called out specifically. Let's all come to the front. Go ahead and press. Once you get to the altar, go ahead and seek after God.
wonder if you're thankful for the word of God that you've heard tonight. Let's give God one more hand clap of praise in this place. We love you, Jesus. We magnify you, oh God. We praise your name, Jesus. We lift you up in this place, oh God. Brother Nolan, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us. What we feel in this place tonight crosses ethnic and language barriers. It crosses every type of social economic boundary. The Holy Ghost has a way of getting down and touching every human heart. How many of you are thankful tonight for the presence of God that we feel in this place, for the anointing of the going forth of the Word of God that happened in this place tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Once again, we are so thankful for all of you coming tonight. We're thankful for the wonderful ministry that's happened all across the house tonight, the praise and worship, the singing, the preaching. Praise God. Why don't you take just a few moments tonight before we are dismissed and just greet somebody. Share your love and faith with them. Tomorrow morning, we will reconvene at 9:30 for prayer and at 10 o'clock for an apostolic service. God bless you.